Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Merino.
Praise the Lord. If you open your Bibles, church, amen, I want to share with you just a word this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and this is the last part that I want to share with you on David. Just want to hit a few pointers right here this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 54. Continue to pray for Israel, church. Amen. Jerusalem. How many know that God's in control? Amen. God's in control. And everything that's written in the Bible, the word of God, will be fulfilled. Amen. Every prophecy. But us as a church, we are called also to pray and intercede. Hallelujah. Do you guys have it? 1 Samuel chapter 17. And let's look at I'm going to read verse 53. And it reads, "The children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents." Verse 54, "And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent." If you might remember last week, I finished off where the Bible says that the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, speaking of Goliath. And I began to say that in reality, we are the champions in the Lord. But their champion, Goliath, the giant, the Bible says was dead. And it says that they fled. All the Philistines fled because their leader, their champion, was dead. And it reads in verse 52. "Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted. I was reading the passage, and when you go back, verses, it talks about how the moment when Goliath came out, the Bible says that they were afraid. I mean, the giant comes out. He's a big dude. He's big, tall. And they were all afraid. And nobody stepped up to the plate except David. The little boy David. But that little boy David had faith in God. He depended of God. And the reason I say this is because the Bible says that now that the champion of the Goliath was dead, all of a sudden, now Israel and Judah, they arise and now they're shouting. I don't know. They didn't do anything. Now they're celebrating. Have you ever been there where you didn't do anything? And you want some type of credit. You start celebrating. You start shouting. Amen? Trying to fit in. When you were afraid, Amen. You were afraid. And the Bible says that when they saw that their champion was dead, all the Philistines, his team, his co-workers, everyone, they all fled. And then on the other side, the Israelites and Judah, those who they serve the real God, the Hebrew God. When they saw him, they all were afraid. But now, because the giant is dead, now they're celebrating and they're shouting. The Bible says that they arose. They stood up. Like, it doesn't say, but I could just imagine like saying, hey, it's done. It's finished. And now they're shouting, they're celebrating, they're excited because Goliath is dead. And how many know that in our walk with the Lord, shouting and celebrating for the victories are great? Amen? It says that they arose and they shouted. Doesn't say what they shouted, but they were shouting. Amen? But how many know that it's more than just shouting? You see, now that I'm talking about shouting, you're not shouting no more, now you're quiet. They're shouting. But notice what the Bible says. And pursued the Philistines. Now they're taking action. Now they're doing something. And obviously, you know, the giant Goliath, he's dead. They might have thought, you know what, now that he's dead, and what gets me is that they're pursuing when the Bible says that they fled. Now that's easy. Amen. The enemies are fleeing. And because they're fleeing, it's like now Israel and Judah, they are now pursuing them. And the Bible says, and they pursued the Philistine as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the Bible says, and the wounded of the Philistine fell along the road to Sheraim, even as far as Gath and Ekron. And then it says in verse 53, then the children of Israel return. When did they return? They return after what? After chasing the Philistines. How many know there's a time for everything, church? Amen? There is a time for everything. We can't be chasing all day long. A time comes where, you know, it's time to move on to what's next. What is next in life? What is the next move? What are we going to do now? We already shouted. We already arose. We already went after them. Now they're returning after they were chasing the Philistines. And this is what they did. The Bible says that they what? They plundered their tents. They took everything that was in their tents. Amen? I don't know if you're getting this. We don't want just want to arise. We don't just want to shout. But we also want to take action. Do something about it. And church, this morning, the shouting is great. Amen. Shouting to the Lord, praising God, Jesus is all great, but it's time to do something about it. It's time to go to the tents. Why the tents? Because the Bible says that they plundered everything of their enemies. Church, this morning you have to take action and you have to plunder. You have to get everything. Everything from who? From the enemy. Amen? The enemy. The enemy, the Bible says that he came to steal, kill, and destroy. I don't know about you, church, this morning, but I want to get everything that belongs to me. I want to get everything that is mine, everything that is mine. I'm not going to permit the enemy, no Philistine, no nothing, no nobody, anything that is, you know, I'm going to get everything that belongs back to me. And that's what they did. They plundered their tents. Even David did something awesome. David didn't just stay, you know, David was the one that did all the, let's put it this way, he did all the dirty work. David's the one that took Goliath out. And what did he do, David? The Bible says that David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. And it wasn't just like, he grabbed his head and he went to Jerusalem. It is believed that it was many years later. And the Bible says that he took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. Now, I don't have to tell you, you already know what happened in Jerusalem. Jerusalem represents Calvary, where Christ died on the cross. There's a scripture, there's quite a few scriptures in the Bible that speaks of Golgotha, which means skull. The skull. Because when you would look at the mountains, it had the figure or a picture of a skull. And when you read here, what did David do? He grabbed the Philistine head and he brought it where? To Jerusalem. That represents what? Victory. It represents that there on Calvary, that's where he died for the sins of the world. It's there where he conquered death and sin. A reminder of what Christ did on the cross. And David took the head of the Philistine because that's what he did. He cut the head of the giant. As a testimony of what he did, how he killed Goliath, so that everyone would know that the giant went down. And you know, it reminds me of that. That's the reason why that in Christ, you and I are a new creation. And you and I have a testimony. You and I have a testimony of what God did in my life and what God did in your life. David, he cut the head of the giant, Goliath. Only you know how what God did through you by his empowerment, how God helped you to cut the head of that giant in your life. That is your testimony. David didn't just went and got the head and, you know, just for, you know, to show off. It was a witnessing to, it was to tell them and that they would know that God is greater, God is more powerful, and that no one can come against God's army. And it's the same thing with you and I, church. The world needs to know. Your neighbor needs to know. Your family needs to know what the great things that God has done in your life. That's the reason why we testify. We are called to be what? Witnesses. We are called to what? To stand up. Doesn't the Bible says that who's the one that stood up? It was Peter. Peter was the one that denied Jesus. Peter was the crazy one. Peter was a loud mouth. But on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Peter, came upon the apostles. But it was Peter, the one that stood up. The Bible says that they what? They arose. But the Bible says that he put his armor in his tent. See, let me put it this way. The head of Goliath, he was going to bring it where? To Jerusalem. See, your testimony reminds us, church, who we are in Christ. What Christ did in your life and what Christ did on my life. It's a reminder that Christ delivered us, that Christ gave us salvation. It is a reminder that in Christ we are overcomers. It's a reminder that in Christ we can. It's a reminder that in Jesus Christ, you know, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And that's the reason why I believe that David took the head of the Philistine and he brought it to Jerusalem. So don't ever forget, church. The reason why that you and I are still here and we've persevered and we are overcoming and God is changing us, God is transforming us, God is doing a good work in us, the only reason is because of what Jesus did on Calvary. That's the reason why. That's the most important thing. See, my victory comes from him. The reason you and I can overcome anything, it's because what he did on Calvary. The reason why that we are still persevering and the reason why that we're still living for the Lord is because what he did on Calvary. I want you to get this. He took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. That's the most important thing. Second thing, what's in the tent? Well, let me ask you, what's in your tent? We read that they plundered everything of the Philistines. But the Bible says, and David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. The armor, whose armor was it? That was the armor of Goliath. Do you remember? How did David cut off the giant's head? Whose sword was it? His own. Goliath. He used the sword. He put it to work. He grabbed the sword and he went to the giant and he cut off his head. Hear me out, church, what I'm saying. So the Bible says, but he put his armor in his tent. And when you read the Bible, you study the Bible a little bit further. I think it's in chapter 21. there's a few scriptures. When I was reading this, it came to my mind about the sword. And it says this, because I wrote it down. The sword was going to remind David of the great thing that God did through him when he cut his head off, the giant. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 21, it is 21, look what it says. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, not dog, Doeg. An Edomite, the chief of the herdsmen who belonged to Saul. Now look what it says. And David said to Ahimelech, is there not here, look what he says, is there not here on hand a spear or a sword? And David, he says, for I have brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the Bible says that the priest answered, he said this. He says, hey, David, he says, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, look what he tells him, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, there it is. Like saying, you know what? The same sword that you killed Goliath, cut his head off, he says, the sword is right there. Now, I want you to get this. Notice that David says that he didn't bring his sword. So he's asking, is there a spear or a sword? But that's not the important thing. The important thing is that he was asking for a sword. You didn't get it. See, many times you might not be carrying the sword with you. But when you know what a sword can do, that's what makes a difference. You might not have the sword with you like David. He says, I didn't bring my sword with me. And he's asking. He says, I didn't bring my sword. I didn't bring any weapons with me. But when you know what a sword can do, when you know that you need a sword, and right now what I'm talking about the double-edged sword, the Word of God. When you know what the Word of God can do, see, many times you might not be reading the Word, studying the Word, you're not carrying the Word, but when you know what a sword, the Word of God, can do, that makes a difference. What does that tell? That tells me that I got to go back to the sword. I got to go back to the Word of God, because I know what the Word of God can do with the giant. And thank God for people. God uses people. God used a priest. And that priest told David, look, David, I know you're telling me that you didn't bring no weapons. You didn't bring your sword. But let me tell you something. The sword of Goliath, the Philistine whom you killed in the valley of Elah, there it is. He says, it's wrapped. In a cloth behind the ephod. It was wrapped up. It had a little ribbon right there on top. Right there. You know, there's Christians like that. They never grab the sword. It's all nice and wrapped up. The nice little red ribbon right there. It's just looking cute. But you never use it. You never bring it out. And how many times, church, you know, I don't have to tell you, how many times has God not given you victory by his word?
by his promises. When Paul said all the promises of God are yes and amen. If God gave me victory with one scripture, one word, one promise, why not go back to the word of God?
He says, hey, David, it's right there, man, that sword. And that's what's important, church. When you're not prepared, you're not ready, you don't know what to do, you're not carrying the sword, you recognize it, you admit it, but in your spirit, you also remember what the sword can do. Especially the victories that God has given you in the past. I don't know if you're getting this. What God did yesterday, it's a reminder of what God can do today. He gave you victory yesterday. You cut the head of Goliath, the giant. He can do it again. You can do it again. And church, this morning, I'm here to encourage you that keep wanting that sword. The word of God. What God can do. How many know that God always comes through with his word? Amen. God, what he says he's going to do, church. And I want to remind you, church, that continue to believe the word of God. God is not like man. God is not going to fail you. God is going to fulfill. God's going to make it happen. It might not be in your timing, my timing, but it's going to happen. Why? Because it's written in the word of God. And that's what's important, church, is that, you know, many times we know what the word, the sword of God can do. And you know what? David could have said, you know what? I don't want to mess with that sword. Because it's nice, it's wrapped up. You know, like when you get a present for Christmas or your birthday, they wrap it up good. Three little ribbons, they even put three, Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, you know. And you don't even want to untie it because why? Because it looks so beautiful, the time they put in it. David could have said, you know what? No, it looks nice right there. Just leave it there. I don't want to touch it. It looks nice in that cloth right there. But David didn't say that. You know what David said? And that's the attitude we got to get, church. He said this. He says, the Bible says, if you will take that, take it. He told David, if you will take that, take it. I'm here to tell you, church, take it. Take the word of God. Do what you gotta do, church. Take the word of God. Whatever it takes, get in the word of God. You might say, you know what? I'm lazy. I can't read. Listen to it then. Or, you know, my Bible or that. No. Take it. Take it. And you know, David, when they told him, he says, if you will take it, take it. And David says, for there is no other except that one here. There is no other, he says, except the one here. There's no other, church. Let me tell you something. There's no other solution. It's not your own personal arguments. It's not your own personal wisdom. It's not, praise God, for books, knowledge. But there's nothing like the number one seller, the word of God. Amen? Take that one. That one is full of life. Did you get that, church? That one's full of life.
anything that might be dying in your life, God can bring it to life. And the Bible says, and David said, there is none like it. Ooh, imagine getting that attitude. There's nothing like my Bible. There's nothing like my sword. There's nothing like the Word of God. There's nothing like Scripture. There's nothing like being hungry for the Word of God. There is nothing like the Word of God. There is nothing. Les Brown, he had a saying, he used to say that. Les Brown, the motivational speaker, he says, you got to be hungry. You got to be hungry. Yeah. Come on, church. Remember in the world? It was in the summer, hot, and you open up that 12 count. Nothing like that one. Don't stay quiet on me. Don't act innocent. You know what I'm talking about. No. It's nothing like it, the Word of God. When my marriage was falling apart, when my son was going crazy, when the doctor says that I was sick, but nothing like the Word of God that says, I am your healer. Nothing like the Word of God that says, your whole household shall be saved. Nothing like the Word of God that says, my God shall supply all of your needs. Nothing like the Word of God, I'll be with you all the days of your life. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Nothing like the Word of God. And then he said, give it to me. I was going to say, give it to me, babe. No. He says, give it to me. Give me. Give me the word. Give me the word. I want the word. You're discouraged? Give it to me. I need the word. Wow. There's a message right there. There is none like it. Give it to me. That's powerful. Nothing like the word of God. Give it to me. I want it now. Now, I need it. Go back with me. Enough with the give it to me. Let's go back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I just made money for the writer of that song. Now you're going to go listen to it and go download it. No, you already got it downloaded. Look what he says. Verse 55. And when Saul saw David, this is crazy. He says, when Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, he says, the commander of the army, he says, Abner, who is that youth? Who's that young guy? Now, there's a lot of different commentaries. They say there's a lot of reasons why that maybe he forgot. Maybe he wasn't thinking right. Because remember at one time when he was younger, when the bad spirits would come upon Saul, David would come and play, worship God, and those bad spirits would leave. Some say that maybe, you know, he wasn't right. There's a lot of reasons. Or maybe they believe that maybe by this time, David, he matured. God's doing something in him. God's working in him. But the Bible says, he tells Abner, the commander of the army, whose son is this youth? Because remember also, who was the one that tried to put the armor on him? Saul. And now he's asking, who is he? And Abner said, as your soul lives, O king, I do not know. So the king said, inquire whose son this young man is. Some believe that he wanted just to know, because remember the promise, whoever kills a giant, that person will not pay taxes, and he's going to be my son-in-law. Remember that promise? So some believe that maybe he wants to know, hey, who's this guy that's going to marry my daughter? I got to know who he is.
We can learn so much in the Word of God, church. Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul. This is what got me. He says, he brought him before Saul. So Abner goes to David, and he brings him to Saul. And it says, before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. He didn't let go, man. He had the head on his hand the whole time. They're doing an interview, and he's not letting go. His testimony, his witness. He's right there. Yes, his trophy. That's crazy. They're watching. They're asking, like, you know, why do you have Goliath's head still? But he's holding on to it. And the Bible says, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son are you, young man? Imagine what God can do, church, in your life and my life. Don't ever forget what the Bible says. We are going from glory to glory, from victory to victory. Hear me, church, what I'm saying. You got to see yourself that you're not going backwards. We're not going to defeat. No, we're going forward from glory to glory. We're going from victory to victory in the name of Jesus. In other words, God is doing a work in my heart. God is changing me, and God is transforming my life. To the point where they say, who is he? What happened to you? What happened? You're different. And let me tell you something, church. When you experience a breakthrough, a victory, like David, when he killed that Goliath, I can assure you that his faith went to another level. That's why it's important that you witness, you testify of the mighty things, like it says in the book of Daniel. To testify, to share of the great things that God has done in your life. Where they say, man, go get him. He's different. And church, this morning, I believe that God is doing something in you, in your life. And I finish right here. I love this part. It seems like it doesn't make sense, but look what it says. At the end, so Saul tells him, whose son are you, young man? And look at David, what he answers. I am the son, look what he says, of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. David was proud and not ashamed where God brought him out from. He says, I am the son of Jesse. Don't ever forget, church, where God took you out from. You know that there's people that are embarrassed to witness, testify where God took them out from? They will never tell you what God did in them. Well, stay quiet on me. What God did for you. They will never say. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Therefore, we are a new creation in Christ. That's why I love, you know, I read a lot of biographies where people, where they started from and where they are now. And one thing is that They'll ask them a question, like one of them, they'll be, have you ever been broke? Absolutely, yes. Have you ever this or that? Yes. But now they are blessed. They have a healthy marriage. Notice what I said, healthy marriage. Family, children. They don't forget. They don't forget where they come from. And that's, it sounds like, that's what I'm telling you. It seems like it's nothing like, oh, he's just saying, whose son are you, young man? Who are you? I am the son of your servant. And notice, because David, he could have said, didn't you just see what I did to Goliath? He could have took, hear me, church, I don't know if you're getting this. He could have took that one word when he says, I am the son. He could have took that one word, servant. Jesse. He could have said, I am the son of Jesse. He's being humble about it. He's humble, but at the same time, he is proud. He could have said, didn't you just see what I did to Goliath? What you couldn't do? You were afraid. You tried to discourage me. All the Israelites are afraid. He could have said, don't you see? But no, he says, I am the son of your servant, Jesse. Could learn a lot right there, church. To be humble, to be real. There's that one, I don't remember her name, and there's an actress. She was born in El Centro, California. Sure. But they ask her, where were you born? Down south. Tell it like it is. Look what the Lord has done in your life. Give God the glory. Give him the honor. Give him the praise. Yes, I was born and so and so and so. But look what the Lord has done for his glory and honor. What do you want? I was born in Palm Springs, California. Across the street from Starbucks. God is good, church. And that's why don't forget what God has done in your life and be a witness about it. Testify about it. Amen. Please stand, church, this morning.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.